been about a year since the launch. What has happened, and how proud are you?
Oh, well, Red has been a big success. I'm delighted to tell you, and thank you for your support for it. We got, I think it's $47 million goes into the Global Fund after our first year, which is an incredible thing. And in fact, they have a replenishment conference in Berlin, and sitting in between the countries of Portugal and Russia was our girl from Red. She's just fantastic, like a country. Like she's, and Red had done more this year for to get these AIDS medicines than either Russia or Portugal.
Didn't you leap to number 11th in the fund from out of nowhere?
Yeah, no, it's been great, and you know these companies are heroic in my view. And but they're seeing loyalty coming through their doors. Their customers love it. The people who work on like the Gap, the people who work on those designs, they come in earlier, they leave later. You know, and the same at Apple. Everybody's just very proud of it. Motorola, it's amazing. We have a new company coming on board, which I think I can tell you about. In fact, I think they're just about to put up a big billboard around the corner there in Times Square, which is Hallmark. And the greeting cards company. So this Christmas, people can send Red Christmas cards. Pretty cool.
That makes a lot of sense.
Doesn't that make sense?
So, I mean, you're used to seeing your own face and certainly the band's logo and all of that, but it must be different now. You're in London, New York, Dublin. You see someone crossing the street toward you in a Red T-shirt with one of the various words and expressions available on the front of it. That must hit you in a different way.
Well, the idea is to make Red the star. Not me. You know, that's the idea. Is that and it doesn't depend on Bobby Shriver and I, who are the two that set this up. And, you know, Steven Spielberg is in the ad, and, you know, Penelope Cruz, Christy Turlington, the Red Warriors, we call them, Chris Rock. They're the you know, but the brand is the thing that we want to make the star. And I think that's going to happen. I mean, some people push back against it, you know, and it's irritating. Some people don't like the idea that companies can make profit. But we want them to make profit on this because it makes it sustainable. But if you've seen kids begging for their life, and you have, because we were in Africa together, and you've seen the jeopardy of, you know, women passing the virus on to their children, and you think that Red has already touched, I think it's about 1 million lives, which is to say on this, getting these drugs, these ARVs, on getting this tiny little thing called nevirapine, so that the mothers don't transfer the disease to their children, and then on other preventative measures, 1 million lives is a pretty good start. But we're going to do more. We've got some big companies to announce in the new year, big companies. And so we're going off. We're going there.
How's the music business going?
I'm here at the moment. I'm hopeful that you will not see my ugly mug on your television sets unless I'm standing in front of you too. I'm hopeful that this this year on event that we've done with Red and World AIDS Day will do something. But I'm trying to just get back to being in the rehearsal room with the band. That's the thing I love to do the most.
Take a single country, Swaziland. How is life better, different in Swaziland today because of your Red campaign?
One thing I just want to say to you about Red and the work it's doing in Swaziland or Rwanda, places like that, is great and effective and life-changing and, you know, really, and you know this because you and it's incredible that you've taken your crew down there. Well, not just, you know, it's incredible. We really appreciate that kind of coverage, hard news coverage. But it's not just what's happening on the ground with these, getting these drugs to people. The heat of the Red campaign, the billboards, the neon, all of that, that has a political effect here in the United States, which means this year we'll have, I think it's $1 billion going into to buy AIDS medication into the Global Fund as well. So there's a knock on us. So those T-shirts when they're crossing the street, or those jeans, or those Armani jackets, or people pull out a Motorola phone, there's another effect of that, which is politicians, appropriators in the United States Congress go, oh, people are interested in this stuff. So we get increases rather than cuts. that's serious. But I mean, as to Swaziland, I think you know that Tamsin, or another red warrior of ours, was just being down there.
When you take a woman like the woman we met named Lulu, a pregnant, HIV positive, before this campaign, her life expectancy picture would have looked different. You can look at this through individual lives, can't you?
Yeah. You know, our job, partly, and what your job is to turn statistics into flesh and blood, into people, get them to stand up off the page and walk. And when you meet an individual like Lulu, and you realize that every day now, there's another 1,400 Lulus getting put on medication because of America. Makes you excited about America. And America, you know, I always say this, America is a great idea. It's not just a country. This is the kind of America the world needs to see, you know, at the moment, I think. And as a fan of America, it makes me very excited, you know. So an individual like Lulu, multiply her, and you have so many lives who are owing the breath in their lungs, you know, the pulse in their wrist, the blood running through to these two drugs sent over by Americans. Americans, people think you're a continent behaving like an island. You know, they say, oh, Americans don't want to know what's going on in the rest of the world. They are so wrong. And I think one of the things we've done, especially with the One campaign, because the red is the sort of consumer piece, but the One, the white band, mm-hmm. activist piece, you know, we're feeling now that it's becoming a patriotic act to take up these issues of extreme poverty and global health so that the world sees this other side of America, the technological prowess, the, you know, the innovativeness, the creativity. It's a very interesting moment to be doing this work. I never thought we would have gotten so far, and there's so much more to go, but it's great.
You gave a speech at the Constitution Center in Philadelphia.
Yes, I did.
I read it, and I would call it a love letter to America and Americans, who prominent Americans you name by name. And yet, about a sentence, two sentences had to do with torture policy. What happened?
I just felt that I had to say that. You know, I am a fan of America, as everyone knows, an annoying fan. You know, I'm the guy who follows you into the bathroom and, you know, with the liner notes on the album and said, you change, you know, what happened with your second album? You know, I'm that, you know, a fan. And, you know, the Declaration of Independence is this, you know, poetic tract, you know, that talks about we pledge our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. These men, you know, this was the Bill Gates of the time, the Rupert Murdoch of the time. These were people committing treason when they signed the Declaration of Independence. And they were committed to the concept of equality, which is a biblical truth, which started in ancient times, you know, these Jewish sheep herders. And they said, in the eyes of God, everybody is equal. And do unto others what you want to be done to yourself. That comes right apart on the subject of torture. And I love John McCain on this, by the way, because he said, I'm not for torture because I was tortured. And I had read in The Economist, on my way to make the speech, that 38% of Americans were in favor of a certain amount of torture in certain circumstances. And I just wanted to say, you know, as an Irish man who's seen troubles in Northern Ireland and seen, you know, what can happen, don't become a monster, to defeat a monster. America is, in my mind, you know, an extraordinary idea, not just a country. And I think this is the time to hold on to your moral high ground, not lose it to these extremists.
And yet, didn't something happen with the transcript of your remarks?
I was edited out of the speech. Yeah, I was getting the Liberty Medal.
Did you find that
speech
a little surprising?
It's a little surprising.
Did it anger you that your message wasn't heard in the permanent record?
You know, they sorted it out. We complained, and they sorted it out, to be fair. And, you know, Philadelphia is an amazing city. I played there in U2 to 17 people, and we played to 70,000 people. And there's something stirring in that city, and I genuinely believe them when they say it was, they were just trying to edit.
Okay.
Maybe I don't. Okay.
Well, I'll change the subject a little bit. How has it been for you to only become a bigger target? You can take a punch. I mean, the more good works you do, I guess that lays yourself out there for people to take a whack at you.
I'm used to it, you know, custard pies. I'm used to the taste of getting...
Are they all custard so far?
There's some rocks hidden in the Christmas. You know, look, I don't mind. I think there's something in human nature. There's a little dark part of our soul that loves to see high-minded ideas turn out to be not so. And I don't mind any criticism that I take personally. I really don't mind. What I do object to is... You know, some article in a newspaper which is inaccurate. Say on Red, we had a report that went out saying that we'd only made $18 million in our first year and that we'd spent $100 million marketing. We don't spend any money marketing. Gap spend money marketing their khakis anyway. We just piggyback that. But they even used me appearing on your show, even used me appearing on Oprah, added up the value
of
that.
They assigned a value to what this media time
is
worth.
But here's what's... I understand people want to, you know, take a pot shot at me, but we probably lost a partner there. In fact, I know we lost one partner because they thought, oh, this Red thing. We should be making it easier for people to get involved. And that's going to cost people drugs. And that's going to cost people's lives. And it's one thing when you're dealing with an epidemic like AIDS, it's a forest fire. It's one thing not to help in the dousing of that fire. It is another thing to throw rocks at the firemen. And I just, that irritated me. And I thought it was just very irresponsible journalism. But pick on me, I'm fine.
But just don't pick on the innocent.
Just don't. These are companies that could be looking the other way. You know, Gap got itself involved in a controversy where a subcontractor of a subcontractor of a subcontractor was using children to sew on beads on one of their products for children, which is just double irony and horrible and heinous. Now, I know that Gap have 90 people employed full-time to make sure that standards are kept up. And I know they're firing people and it was a violation of their contracts. But my heart goes out to them because I think in general... They're good actors, and, you know, there's a place for them in the history books when the history of this disease is written.
And they've put you on the map graphically. It's now what we associate, along with the phones and other products, with Red.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. It's incredible, and, you know, you have Giorgio Armani. This is an amazing man. He doesn't speak very good English, but he said in his he goes, HIV/AIDS is ugly. I don't like it.
That's all you need him to get rid of it.
You know,
we're in the midst, of course, of an accelerated presidential campaign.
I thought you were running for president yourself.
We're just over 60 days to go. Is there a message from your view, from Africa, from the view of the campaign against HIV/AIDS and poverty, to the presidential campaign in the United States?
I've met with pretty much all of the candidates. Spoken with them all. The place where the fight against extreme poverty connects with them, strangely, is in the war against terror. Because they knock on doors every day of their presidential campaign. And one of the questions they get asked is, how are you going to stop and hate us? There's a real feeling in America that the world does not understand what America is about. And here's the wild thing. I get a call at home. Rockstar gets a call from four-star general. Jim Jones, head of NATO, calls me at home, and he wants to talk about these issues because he's fighting an asymmetrical war that might and military might cannot win alone, and he knows that. And he's saying, you know, we've billions of dollars of high-tech equipment floating out there in the Mediterranean off the coast of Lebanon, and we're losing the war against Hamas because they're building schools. This is a four-star general who wants to understand these issues. He said the most amazing thing to me. He said, I'm a Marine. He said, men and women, Marines, he says, they're brave people. He said, they do not mind being shot at for the right reasons, but they do not like being shot at for the wrong reasons. I said, what's the wrong reasons, General? He said, for being American, because we are the country that liberated Europe, that rebuilt Europe with the Marshall Plan. We're the country that's trying to do the right thing. We've got to get that message across. These issues, tackling global health problems and extreme poverty problems, meeting people where they live and trying to solve their problems for them, afford the United States a chance to redescribe itself to the world at a time when that might be very, very smart.
Final question is just my own curiosity, and I happen to be asking it while we're on camera. You look at the Vertigo video. It was a long time ago. You look different. You've changed. Your hair is short. The band's changed. What's it going to be like when those of us who are customers, consumers of U2, see the new U2, see you on tour, get the new music? What have you got? When do we see it?
Look, I think a band like U2 has to take it to the next level now, or else somebody should just shoot us in the head. And
that's a little extreme.
It might be a little extreme, but Larry, Edge, Adam, they feel like this. They're not going to make music just for the sake of it. They know that we're in this unique position, U2. And I'm doing all this activism work and politics work now, because I can go back down. We've started off songs. We went to Morocco. It's a whole new sound, a whole new feeling with our music. And we're going to take it to the next level. And
when it's ready, it'll be ready.
Because what else are you going to do?
True. Well spoken. Thank you very much.
Au chante. Hello, my name is Bono, and I'm a rock star. And I'm here actually on the set of Saturday Night Live, having just been Brian Williams' roadie for his historic appearance. And I was just thinking about how far we've come, really, since we went together to Africa. It's over a year ago, but just astonishing stuff has happened. Just to take one country like Tanzania. There's an extra 1.5 million children going to school since the last time we were there. Take Rwanda. There's another, I think it's 800,000 people going to school in Rwanda. In Kenya, malaria has come down by 44% because we got all those bed nets. And this really wouldn't be happening without the kind of coverage we're getting on NBC, taking us into the American heartland, into the American heart. And I just want to thank Brian. I want to thank all of you, because this is really coming from you. We will get the biggest increases on aid this year, outside of the military and the veterans. This is because we're on NBC. This is because the viewers, you people who are watching the program and part of this, the online piece, are interested in this stuff. And this is the kind of America that you want the world to see, and I'm with you. So, thank you. A lot going on. What else can I tell you about? AIDS. 1,400 new people every day, Africans, are going on a medication paid for by America. Think about that. 1,400 people who had no chance to survive without these two pills a day that it takes to keep them alive. Every day now, 1,400 people have their lives saved by America through Red and whatever. And don't forget to sign on for the One Campaign, because that's the real marching boots piece of this. That's the activism piece. You know, we have to deal with AIDS. We'll do it through Red. We'll do it through any color. We have to. But if you really want to get busy on these issues, sign up for the One Campaign, okay? And just to explain how this works, I'm Bono. I'm a rock star. I'm part of Data. Data's the head, things up the strategies and lobbies the capitals of like DC and London and Berlin. But we have two arms. One is the red arm, that's the consumer piece, and one is the white arm, which is the white band, the activist piece. So take your pick, but get involved. And thanks again to NBC for coming to Africa. I know that's expensive and probably controversial, and somebody had to go into a meeting and really fight for that. What they actually were fighting for was the right for people to have a life and a dignified life. So it's pretty serious stuff. Thank you.